Well, good morning, church. Come on in. Time for church to start. It's good to have you this morning. And live streamers, wherever you're watching from, it's good to have you. I don't know, Facebook or YouTube, where you are at. But I'm excited to be with you this morning. How many of you are glad to be able to come to church today? Anybody? All right. So, Psalm 33. I want to read to you this psalm, just the first couple of verses of it. It says this. You ready? Is everybody awake this morning?
Amen.
Okay, all right. I know I see people walking in here. We'll wave at them when they walk in. All right. You know, I used to, when I did a leadership training for young people, we would have a leadership class at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And at 9:01, I'd lock the door. Keeps them be prompt and on time. We won't do that at church, right? We want everybody to come, no matter how late they come. Amen. All right. Anyway, Psalm 33 says this, and I just lost it on my phone. Hold on. Let me do facial recognition. It's not working. My past. There it is. All right. It says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. Do you see that? See that joyfully? How many of y'all have joy in your hearts this morning? Anybody? Okay. It says, sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. How many of you are upright in heart because Jesus has done a work in your life? Well, the Bible says that it's fitting to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Now, we don't have a harp up here, but I see a keyboard, a bassist. We got some drums. You know, Kenny's not here today. It's all right. You want me to play guitar today?
No.
No, you don't want me to do that. All right, but anyways. It says, make music to him on the 10-string lyre and sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. I believe that we have celebration in our hearts because of what Jesus has done for us. Do you agree with that? And we come together as a body of believers. One of the things we do is we always start off our Sunday service, enter his courts with pray. And we believe that. We are here to celebrate Jesus because of what he has done in our lives. Amen. So let's all stand together today. Let's sing joyfully unto the Lord.
Praise, You remember who he says we are. He is a king, and you are sons and daughters of the king. You, when somebody else says you're this or the world says you're that, remember, I am the son or the daughter of a king. He's made you holy and righteous. He's put it upon you because of his righteousness. And so we can stand here today and say, hey, Lord, I give you glory and praise because of who you are when I remember you. But thank you for helping me remember who I am in you. He said, I no longer call you servants, but children of mine, right? I no longer call you servants, but you are my family. And we are sons and daughters of him who is the King of Kings. Amen.
Great things. Jericho and wait, he's gonna fall down, if the odds are against you. guys, if you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith this morning.
Well, amen. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, family of faith. How about you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm in this family with you. Let them know. I'm glad I'm in this family with you. You know that that church, if you think about it, church is not an organization that you belong to, but church, when done right, is a family of faith. You know that? And I'm glad you're in my family. And we're worldwide, right? The worldwide church, but I'm glad you're in this local gathering of family of faith. And church, you know, just because a bunch of people gather together doesn't make them a church. You know that? Church is where Jesus is among us. Why do we keep coming together? Because Jesus is here. Now, he's with us everywhere, but he's with us when we gather. How many ever had a problem in church? Anybody? Yeah, be honest. Yeah. But why do you keep coming back? Because we have Jesus. That's why we don't give up. My goodness. So I'm glad you all are in this family of faith with us, and I'm glad you're here this morning. This first Sunday of August, correct? Summer is flying. Summer's flying. How many of you are not happy that summer's flying by? How many of you are happy summer's flying by? Thank you. The second half, you all are saved. First half, we'll pray for you. I'm kidding. Tithe and offering. If you have something to give, you can prepare that offering envelope for the chairs in front of you. And, oh, Drew, I need you to do me something real quick. Can you go in that room? There should be a stack of prayer cards. That's just something I remembered. It's my fault I didn't get those before church, but I think they're sitting in there somewhere, maybe on the Yeah, the windowsill or whatever. I want everybody to get a prayer card this morning. I'll tell you why in just a second. If Drew finds it, if not, we'll do this next Sunday. But anyway, tithe and offering, as you're preparing those, we appreciate your giving and your faithfulness to this family of faith and all the things that we do and see. If you guys could give those out, get somebody to help you. I want everybody to get a prayer card this morning, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But your giving is important to us. We thank you for it. So I'm going to have Eric McNeely come up and pray over the offering this morning. Everybody say, hi, Eric. So Eric's going to come up and pray over the offering. When he's done praying, you can bring it down to the baskets.
Good morning. Good morning. Hello, everybody. This isn't my favorite thing to do. But I do like to pray. So we got that in common. Who's believing God for something, anything? Thank you. And we'll stay along the lines of faith. God says that it is impossible to please him without faith. And that's exactly what we're here for. That's why we're here. That's what we do. And worship, along with tithe, is part of worship, but it's also believing. It's having faith. Because we have faith, we do these things. And that's exactly what God wants from us. He doesn't, I need my money way more than God needs my money. But I need God way more than I need money. So, that's where we're going. And we'll just go ahead and pray for tithe. So we thank you, Father. We just thank you for all of your blessings. Everything that you've given us. Everything that you have saved us from. Everything that you're taking us into. And we just thank you for all of those things. And we praise you and we love you. And we just ask you to multiply our tithe, to bring it, that we will bring it, and that you will multiply it. And we thank you for that. We're just so blessed and so thankful. And we want to be cheerful givers, and we just need your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good, good. Bring it down if you have it this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're excited to have you here with us. If you are new or you have never filled out one of these cards, we would love to get to know you better. We're not going to call you a million bajillion times or anything like that, but I know that Pastor Kylan does personally pray over each and every one of us, which I need all the prayer that I can get. But we would just love to get that, and if you want to give it to this lady right here, Kelly, she has something for you. And then also, we have Next Steps next Sunday right after church, and what that is learning a little bit more about our church so you guys can get involved. And we would love to have you join a dream team. And something I just thought about is Dream Team Celebration is coming up in a couple of weeks. So it's the perfect time to get plugged in, and then you can come to our celebration, and it's always a lot of fun. So we would love to have you here with us for that too.
I appreciate that. That Eric, did you hear what Eric said? That was good. I need my money more than God does, but I need God more than I need my money. You need to write that down somewhere. That was good. My goodness. So I'm just going to pray and close up service. I'm going to let you think about that. I'm kidding. But that was good. All right. So thank you, Samara. Also, I got a handful of different announcements, but I need my glasses. So let me get those real quick. Gentlemen, don't forget, we started our month of the Book of Proverbs the other day. So if you forgot and you're behind, you have a chance to still jump in. A proverb, chapter in Proverbs every single day through the month of August. There are 31 chapters in the Book of Proverbs. There are 31 days in the month of August. So a chapter a day. So today is August 4th. So chapter 4 in the Book of Proverbs. So just follow along with us in that, guys. And then in September, we're going to get together and have a guys get together, and we're going to talk about it. So guys, challenge for the month of August, 31 days in the Book of Proverbs. Now, why everybody got a prayer card is because tomorrow night, we're back from our summer break from small groups. We're back from our summer break for church-wide prayer and different things. So tomorrow night, we're back with weekly Monday night church-wide prayer right here at 6 o'clock. So every Monday, we have church-wide prayer. So I gave you a prayer card. That way, by the end of service, you can fill out something that you're praying for, a need, whatever you have. And after service, I'm going to leave this up on the platform here, come up and put it up here. And then every Monday night, not only is the prayer, the group that comes and prays, going to pray over it, but I'll be praying over it. We are a pray first church. And we pray because we believe in God, who is a powerful God, but a God who hears our prayers, amen, and responds to our prayers. So, again, we always have a good core of people that are here every Monday praying, but if you haven't been with us for church-wide prayer, I encourage you to start coming out for that. Again, being a pray-first church, we don't do anything unless we pray first, and we believe our prayers go before us and all the things that we do. So, having said that, fill out that card. You don't have to put your name on it if you don't want to, and after service, put it up here in that, whatever that thing is, and we'll pray over it starting tomorrow night. Also, again, a small group's kicked off this month. So we introduced all the leaders last week. Let me do it one more time again today. So Judah, stand up. He's got a men's group. Samara, stand up. She has a ladies' group. Thomas, stand up back there. He has a group, which is really cool, on basic discipleship. So if you're a newer believer, Thomas's group is for you. Christine has a group. Stand up. Teddy has a group. Stand up. Bill and Patsy have a group. Stand up. And I didn't give you any other info, so what you need to do is go back to the backboard where they're meeting. Times, dates, and everything are back there. So if you're interested in any of those groups, see them. And we do small groups not because we're a church that has small groups. We are a church of small groups. And the reason is this. In relationships, it helps us find freedom. Now, what do I mean by that? So today I'm going to give you a message in just a moment. It's going to be good. And if you don't think so, pretend, all right? Help me out. But see, you don't get to talk back and discuss at this moment, right? It's just how we have things set up. But small groups is a place where you can get in a smaller size. Our groups are not large groups. They're small, small groups. Where not only will there be things discussed, but you have an opportunity to talk and to share and build relationships. And there's certain freedom found in the ability to talk and share and build relationships. So small groups are very important to us. And each group has a topic they're doing and things of that nature. But please get involved in a small group. If you want to know which one you should go to, talk to me and I'll point you the right way. But small groups are an important part of who we are. So get connected in those. Let's see. Serve Week. Yes, Serve Week starts a week from tomorrow. So we're out doing something in the community Monday night, Tuesday night, even Wednesday. Church is going to be a little bit different, but Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then Friday night, we host our community cookout where we invite our neighborhood out to that. So sign-ups for Serve Week are at the back table. Back there is a white table. Every night we're doing something, so please sign up and come out and join in on what we're doing. And the reason we're having sign-ups is that way I can prepare for how many people are coming. We're going to do some things like we're going to send a team out to some of our shut-ins in our church to do some worship at their house. We're going to go to some laundromats and pay for laundry and ask people if they want prayer. We're going to go in our neighborhood and knock on the doors of our neighborhood and invite them to church. We're going to actually take a team down to the town square where they're just going to talk to people and invite them to times of prayer and share the gospel with them. So we have different things happening that week. So I encourage you to be a part of Serve Week. Again, sign-ups are back there, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Another thing, I know lots of things going on. This Wednesday night, it just kind of came out of the blue a little bit, but some of you may be familiar with a guy named Eric Hamp. How many know Eric? I know some of you. He's actually going to be here Wednesday night speaking. He came in. He's actually at the Botkins campus today, and he's going to be here all week. He's going to do Kenton on Thursday. He's got Pastor Rick's church tonight, but he's going to be with us on Wednesday. So it's kind of an unscheduled but now scheduled guest speaker. He's going to be here Wednesday, but he moves into prophetic, and I encourage you that his word is going to encourage you. So be here Wednesday night. And by the way, this past Wednesday night, we never got out of worship. And I think the Lord brought forth some things for our church this past Wednesday. So here's what we're going to do. If you weren't here Wednesday, I would encourage you. I think it's the second Sunday of September. We are going to do a Vision Casting Sunday. And the message that day is going to be kind of geared that way. But also right after church, we're going to stay, and if this is your family of faith, we're going to set the tone for the rest of our year up until the new year. And the things coming for our church, you're going to hear my heart that day, some vision, some planning. So I believe that God is up to something in this church. Do you agree?
Yes.
And you're a part of it if this is your family of faith. And I believe that God is taking us somewhere. So I'm excited to share some things with you on that day. So mark that on your calendar. And last but not least, tonight, at 6 o'clock at the Concord Community Center. Our youth hangout is back on track. So if you have a young person from 5th to 12th grade, drop them at the Concord Community Center at 6 o'clock. We're there till 8:30. There's going to be a word. There's going to be some message. I'm going to go buy 100 tacos from Taco Bell and bring those there. And then right after that, we're going to play basketball and volleyball. And I'm not sure if that's going to mix well, but we're going to do it. And it's going to be a good time. So 5th to 12th graders tonight from 6 to 8:30 at the Concord Community Center. And tell them, invite your friends. It's going to be a good time. Whew. I'm always happy when I get past announcements. If you have your Bible today, John chapter 14. And we also have a water baptism after church today, so I'm excited about that. So please stay after church. We're going to go out and celebrate a dedication in baptism unto the Lord. So John chapter 14, we are in a series, Hindrances to Growth. We're still there. We're going to be there through the month of August, and then September, we're going to start walking through the book of Acts, and I'm excited about that. But John chapter 14 and verse 15. So let's just read this together. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, comma. Notice the comma there. If you love me, comma, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Of course, talking to helpers, the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Goes with the word that came forth today, that we are children of God. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. There's a whole lot of being in people there. And whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is it who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Yes. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, his commandments going forward in the new covenant center on loving God with everything you have and loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And all things flow from that. And as a matter of fact, growth in the Christian life is based on growth in those two areas, and everything kind of, again, it flows out from that. So here's the thing. This is what I know. And I know I've shared this with you before, but I didn't give my life to God because I loved him so much. I gave my life to God because I needed something he was giving me. Is that true? Or there's some people that give their life to God. Well, so I knew I was a sinner, and I needed to save, and I heard he offered forgiveness. So I give my life to him. Kind of transactional, you see? Some people give their life to God because they've come to a realization that heaven is real and hell is real, and I want to go to the good place. Amen. Right? But see, what happens is, that's not a bad place to start. It's okay. But Jesus said, if you love me, now we need to know that we have to grow in love. Right? Then also then, if you love me, comma, you will keep my commandments. We also know that there needs to be growth in doing the things that God asks of us, because nobody starts good there either. I mean, when it comes to loving people as you love yourself, we're not naturally that way, right? We're not loving. We have a tendency to be selfish. We don't put other people first. We have a tendency to put ourselves first. We're not interested in looking out for the needs of others. We just like to make sure we're taken care of. You start thinking of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all the way down through. You're just not generally that way. So we have to be people that learn to grow in those things too. So Christianity is bound up in growth. I must grow in my love towards God, responding to Him and how He loves me. And in turn, I grow in then what it means to live out His commandments. So I want to ask you a question. We lost our screen, so let me just put it this way. Go back to John 14, 15. Again, if you love me, comma, will you keep my commandments? So I want to ask you a question. Which side of the comma are you living on? Are you living on if you love me? Or are you living on, are you keeping my commandments? That's an important question. Now, we need both. You must grow in love for Him and you must keep His commandment. But if you try to do the second part without the first, it's not gonna work. Which side of the comma are you living on? See, in that sentence, how we do English, it needs to flow left to right. You've got to start in growing in love for Jesus, even if that's not why you got saved. Because if you try to live in just trying to obey commandments without love, it's just not going to work. And the burden that is easy and the yoke that is light will be a burden that is hard and heavy, and you won't be able to do it. Which side of the comma do you live on? You see, while one side leads to the other, it shows up in some differences. So, for instance, the difference between living on the side of the comma and growing in love for Jesus that should flow into the obeying commands versus just trying to live His commands is the difference between life change and simply trying to change your behavior. Life change versus behavior modification. See that? Jesus will change your life versus you trying to just curb some sin. There's a difference there. It's the difference between the power of the Holy Spirit, notice Jesus says He sends the helper, versus you trying to do it in your own willpower. That won't work. It's the difference of relationship with Him, which is what salvation is all about, and just trying to live in legalism. And really what it comes down to, it's the want to versus feeling like you have to. Because when you start to love Jesus, He starts to do something with your desires. See, when you want to grow in love for Jesus, here's something that happens. You will want to be with Him. Things like the scriptures, prayer. You will be a worshiper. It's only in these things where you begin to understand what true freedom is. See, you want to hear from the Holy Spirit. This is growth. You will desire Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you try to live the commands of Scripture without desiring Jesus first, it ends up in legalism. Desire Jesus. If you love me, live there. See, we ask the question, how much do you really want to know Him? Or have you heard enough sermons or you've seen enough about Christianity that you just know there's a list of things you should involve yourself in? You also know there's some things you shouldn't. Well, okay, that's great, but if you don't desire Jesus, then again, the rest of it is just stuff you're trying to do. You see, when you grow in your love for Jesus, you will in turn grow to be like him. And when you grow to be like him, you will begin to do what he did. Again, love your neighbor. It turns into a way of life. So here's what I want to say, and I need you to hear me in the context here. Listen to me. Everybody look at me. Jesus is our focus, not works. Amen. You see that? Jesus is our focus, not the things we do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus is the focus. And I think we often get caught up in trying just to focus on the works. Now again, 100%. Faith without works is what? Yes. You say you have faith but no works, that doesn't work. But works or deeds or the Christian life flows from the fact that Jesus is our focus. Because when Jesus points us to truth, he first points us to himself. Is that right? Jesus said what? I am, great proclamation, one of the seven great I am statements in the book of John. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. In other words, he is the avenue of salvation, relationship restored. When he points to truth, he points to himself, and everything flows out from that. So if you want to do the works of the Christian life in the way that we should, then Jesus should be our focus. See, it's something we were talking about not long ago, but let me bring it back up again. When Jesus is your focus, you start to learn his heart. And when you learn his heart, which is the why, when the what comes up, the what kind of makes a bit more sense. You start to see it with different eyes. You start to understand things differently. But if you only focus on the what, the works, without the why, the heart, sometimes the what just doesn't make sense. Or the what, I'm not sure I can do that. Or the what, the world doesn't work that way, why do we have to? You see what I'm saying? When you catch the heart of Jesus, you see? And then you will do my commands. And Jesus said, look, adultery's wrong. I'm going to say that again because everybody in this room should say amen. Adultery's wrong. It's sin. Amen. But just looking at a woman lustfully, you commit adultery with her in your heart. Well, what's the big deal? The what? The command. What's the big deal? If you catch the heart of Jesus, it starts to make more sense. But you'll never get the heart of Jesus unless he's your focus. Right? When he says a command, I tell you that you should love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's the what. That doesn't seem easy. But when you have the heart of Jesus, that starts to make some sense. Even though nobody else lives that way. Right? And all these different things that he is calling us to as a way of life, of really learning how to love our neighbors ourselves, it only will come in the way it should when you're catching his heart, but you'll never catch his heart unless he's your focus. That you're living on the side of the comma, if you love me, do you love him? That's my question. And are you growing? Listen, are you growing in your love for him? That's a question. You see that? Question. So when we do things like this, watch. Let me see a Bible. Anybody got a Bible? Kelly's Bible. Kelly's Bible, my goodness, it's been through some stuff. I like it. Your Bible should look like this. I have four Bibles in my office. I have my very first preaching Bible. It's been held together by packaging tape, duct tape. There's blood in it. It's just a mess. One day I was reading in the book of Psalms my note. I was one of those kids where I would just get nosebleeds for no reason. You know what I'm talking about? I would be standing there, nosebleed. One day I was reading and my nose right in my Bible. I was like, well, that's wild. Anyways, I have three preaching Bibles I've been through. They're all duct taped up. This is a different one. I hope your Bible looks like this. Let me tell you something, though. If your focus is Jesus and you're living on the side of if you love me, then you obey my commands. When you go to your Bible, the first thing you're here for is relationship. Not a transaction. What can I get out of this for me today? There's things in there for you. But this is about relationship first. Jesus, I want to know you more. Reveal yourself to me in the scriptures. You see what I'm getting at? And when you pray, thank you, Kelly. And when you pray, when Jesus is your focus and you know I desire him more, when you pray, your first step of prayer is relationship. Not just bringing the list of stuff you want him to do for you. It's not transactional. You can do that. You cast your cares upon him. Amen. But you pray because I want to be in your presence. I want to know you. That's how you start to pray. And then you worship. You see, I'm getting at. And when you fast, you know it's called to fast sometimes. How often when the Spirit leads you? He never leads me to do that. I'll help you out. When you fast, why do you fast? I need him to do something for me. Relationship. Jesus said, remember the whole business they asked the disciples, why don't you fast but the other John's disciples do? He said, if the bridegroom is with them, why would they? They'll fast when I'm gone is pretty much what he said. So is he gone? Yeah, he's with us with the Holy Spirit, but he's gone. Why do we fast? First and foremost, relationship. We empty ourselves in fasting so we can have more of him. That's why we fast. Relationship. And see, when Jesus calls us to these things, when you pray, close the door. Do it in secret. When you fast, don't walk around acting hungry so people ask, why are you hungry? So you can tell them you're fasting. What you do in secret, he rewards you. What? Relationally. Right? Jesus is to be our focus, not the works and not just what we get from him, though he does bless us with things that only he can bless us with, and yes, there is a life to live, but if you don't have love for Jesus growing in you, that stuff won't be right in your life. You see what I'm getting at? And the Bible says, 1 John 4 says, well, let's turn there if you have your Bibles. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Do you know that we're never asked of anything that he first doesn't set the example for us to do. You know, even so much so that one of the reasons that Jesus came and lived this earthly human life was so he can experience everything we've experienced and sympathize with us in our weakness. Everything he asks of us, he has set the example for us. You see that? I know you can grow in your love for him because he first loved us and shows us what love is. Amen? Here's another one. Matthew chapter 11. This is the great call of Jesus. An invitation unto him. Matthew chapter 11.
says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the invitation to come to him, even the call of the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe. Do you realize that he asked you to come to him before he asked anything else of you? See that? See, I'm thankful. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that he didn't say, clean your life up, get it all together, get yourself perfectly worked out, do all the good works, then you can come to me. I'm thankful. I'm not sure. I would never have made it. I'd still be looking. You're still over there. You're just down the road. I don't think I can get there. See, he calls us relationally to respond to him first. Even in repentance, our faith is born because we hear. But then even in repentance, when we first repent, he still then says, okay, now I'm going to show you the way. He calls you relationally before he asks anything of you. See that? He says, if you love me, I will show you and teach you and lead you and guide you and help you live these commandments. See, the first disciples, all they got was, hey, follow me. Relational. Follow me. And when you're following me, I will make you into fishers of men. It's always a call relational first, but we miss it. You know, I'll tell you why we miss it. Because I tell my wife, I love you, right? Do I tell you that every day? What do you mean you think so? Yes, I do. What are you talking about? My gosh. I love you. That's your spot for today. Don't forget. All right.
It'll be a long ride home.
Yeah, I may not be riding home. Anyways, here's the thing. It's easy because obviously my wife is tangibly, physically in front of me. You see, but yet we're called to love a God that we don't physically see and physically interact with. And there are times in history where people have heard the audible voice of God. It doesn't happen all the time. You see? And he doesn't text you during the day. You know, he doesn't give you a phone call. He's given you the word. But we forget that's better than a text. We often don't learn to know what it means to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says there's still a small voice. But yet, listen to me. God is even more, listen to me, even more present to me than my wife is because he's within me. See, I'm getting at. If I will learn to pay attention to him. And that relationship can be just as real and vital and there as my relationship with my spouse. But sometimes because it's not in front of us like that, we have a hard time with this whole concept of loving God. It's there. I love him because, and I grow because I just want to know him more. Listen to me. God is, he is deep and he is wide, and you can spend every moment of the rest of your life knowing more about him, and you still won't completely scratch the surface. It's like we say this a lot. It's like trying to shove the ocean into a Coke can. You can fill the Coke can, but there's still a lot of ocean left. You know? And I want to know him more. I want to know, Jesus, how was it possible that you could wash the feet of the disciples, including that Judas guy, who you knew just a few moments later was going to turn you in? and you didn't say anything about it, and you loved him just like everybody. I'll tell you what, if I knew somebody was going to betray me, that I was going to be killed, I wouldn't be washing his feet. You kidding me? Not a chance. Maybe when I was done with everybody else's feet water, I'd just be, oh, sorry, splash. Maybe that's what I would have did. I don't know about you. How is that possible? Then he says, come know me and learn my heart. Then you'll start to see why that's possible. I want to know him like that. How is it possible when you're hanging on the cross and all those things that just happened to you, one of the last words that you say is, Father, forgive them. Then not just stop there, for they know not what they do. Oh, you kidding me? They knew what they were doing. When they flogged him, they knew exactly how to do it. When they nailed him to the tree, they knew exactly how. They were experts at nailing. What do you mean they didn't know what they do? Their heart. They didn't catch it. Man, would I have said those words in my last few moments of breath? How's that possible? I want to know his heart that way. And I have a long way to go to grow. But to be that way, I have to know his heart that way. I want to know him more. And every time I do something or say something or my attitude shows up in the wrong way or whatever, and I have to apologize or I have to come back and say, Lord, I just made a mistake there. I need to know you more so I can grow in that. But I can't grow in that until I keep learning you. When you're interacting with somebody, they go as far as to slap you in the head. And Jesus says, now turn the other cheek. Are you kidding me? How is that possible? I want to know his heart. Why would he say that? What's the heart behind that command? If I'm not there yet, then I want to know you more. I want to learn you. I want to grow. So I can catch what you're after there. If you're demanding to take something 1 mile, say, okay, I did it for you 1 mile, but I'll give you another mile. That's my heart. What, are you kidding me? I want to know him more. And the more I know him, the more I will be like him, because it just starts to make more sense. Jesus is the focus, not your works, but your works will come when he is the focus. That's where you start. So when you break your Bible open tomorrow, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to learn. Holy Spirit, help me, enlighten the word to me. But Jesus, in this, I just want to see you more. When you go to pray, you worship it. Lord, for all the things I'm going to pray and the things I'm going to ask, I'm in a mess. I need help here. But in that, I want to know you more. Which side of the comma do you live on? It makes all the difference in the world. Hindrance to growth. If you're not growing your love for Jesus, it'll hinder the growth and the works. Amen? Let's love him more. Now guys, gentlemen, look at me. I think sometimes in our masculinity, we struggle with words like love. Got to get over that. Let me tell you something. You're called to be like Jesus. And you can see all the examples we have of great men in the Bible. David. I think everybody wants to be like David. I want to kill a lion and a bear and a giant. I'm a man. Okay, great. You go try to kill a bear. We'll bury you later, okay? Whatever you want to do. Bible didn't say be like David. Although we can take characteristics from him. The Bible says, be like Jesus. Jesus is my Savior, not David. David didn't die on the cross for my sin. Jesus did. And we can learn from all those people and then learn great things, but look, Jesus is our example. And we have to learn that, yes, this is relationship. Sometimes you got to get over yourself a little bit so you can get there. You know? See what I'm getting at? Amen? So let's stand up. Let's just for a minute. How about you just for a minute, if you would, just raise your hands and worship him and just tell him that you love him. We worship you today, Jesus, and we praise you. Your name is high above. And Lord, we love you. Lord, we desire to grow more in our love for you. And we know in that then we will be like you. We'll live your commands. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for that. I praise you, Jesus. For you are wonderful and you are good. You are holy. You loved us in creation. You made us. I pray we turn and love you in return. And we grow in that love. So we worship you today and we praise you today. With every part of who we are and for the parts that are being held back, we give it this morning. We turn it all over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Now, if you're here this morning and you feel like your heart is far from God, or maybe it's just as simple as you just have never given your life to him, never asked for the forgiveness of your sins, and you're coming to realize that Jesus is so amazing. His love's so great that he literally gave his life for us. And you want to begin to know him that way. And that heart that is far from him will be drawn so close to him. If that's you, I just ask, I'm going to count to three and just ask you to raise your hand just so I can see. I'm not going to call you down front, anything like that, but I'm going to get with you later. But if you're here today and you want to commit your life to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand on count of three. One, two, three. Anybody here? Anybody at all? Okay. No hands today. So let me pray a blessing over everybody here then. Lord, we thank you that we are able to come here today and worship you and be in your word. And I pray as we go today, the seeds that were sown in our hearts today take root and they begin to grow. And I pray blessing on everybody in the house today that they know that they're blessed because, well, you're our Father for your children. As the scripture we read today, we're not left as orphans. But you are with us and you are in us. I thank you for that. I pray all facets of our lives are given to you in such a way that you can bless them. Thank you. That you're with us in all things. So I pray that you give us wisdom, you lead us and you guide us and you show us the way. We're going to grow. We're going to grow. We're going to be a light in this world. I thank you for that. And we do these things for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see you. Next week, bring somebody out with you, all right? Give us 5 minutes, and we're going to go out and have a water baptism day. Let's do that as a family of faith. Let's celebrate that. Be blessed that you go.